Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the program, and we start today with a little news about the pandemic, the virus that has shut all the sports down, but we hope things are slowly starting to come back and reopen and get back to some normalcy in the sports world as well. But yesterday, Governor Holcomb, we carry the press conferences each day when he has an update, announced that Indiana, he thinks based on numbers, hospitalizations, number of new cases, a lot of different ways they're analyzing the coronavirus in the Hoosier state, we're doing okay. And so they're going to move Indiana to stage four of a five-step back on track Indiana plan a couple days early. So today we enter stage four, which means things like bowling alleys, skating rinks, golf courses, which many have been open and been allowed to be open for golf rounds, but get a little bit back, more back to normal at golf courses today. Baseball fields, batting cages, soccer fields, tennis courts, basketball courts can be open. Swimming pools can open as well with this stage four. Doesn't necessarily mean that you can get out and play all sports. If it's a contact sport like basketball, technically it's supposed to wait until, I believe, June 19th is the current date. The governor bumped that back a little bit in his announcement as well yesterday. But we are moving closer to the return of sports, and I think you'll start to see, of course, locally, communities and parks departments and others can make decisions to continue with the closures if they think that it's necessary for this area. But I think we'll start to see here over the next, some immediately and some in the next coming weeks, courts open back up and activities in some form or fashion with youth sports as well resume. But we may not get the games, the contact sports and things like that, even at a youth level. We know we're not going to get them from the high school perspective as far as basketball and the off season goes in June or even into July. But getting a step forward, I'll take any positive news. I think Friday's a good day to have some positive news like that and to take another step into stage four of this five-part plan to get Indiana rolling again, we sure hope. But that, obviously, some positive stuff. Then we see that the Kentucky Derby Festival announces Thunder over Louisville is not going to happen this year. Obviously, it was delayed initially, postponed, but it's been delayed. It's not going to happen. And the Kentucky Derby Festival's marathon is not going to happen either this year. So that leaves locally the next big sporting event, which is obviously this is a major event, the Kentucky Derby. It's now set for September. It has been for some time. The Derby's going to happen. There's no question. Horse racing is opening back up in Indiana. Horse racing has been going on with no fans in many parts of the country now for some time. But are we going to have a Derby with no fans there? That's kind of the next thing to see. I think you got that and the 500 coming up late into the summer, August and September, to see what decisions they make. But most everything else, even I mentioned Harvest Homecoming has been canceled already. That's an October event in Southern Indiana. Again, Derby Festival stuff, a lot of that's being postponed. A lot of it's being canceled altogether for this 2020 Derby Festival. So we'll see what happens with the 500 and with the Kentucky Derby. Those are going to be two interesting big sporting events that attract a lot of people, mean a lot to the economies in Louisville and in Indianapolis. And with everything that has went on, not just the coronavirus, but there are so many businesses that have busted windows and are not open. And I can't speak for Indianapolis specifically, but
in the Louisville area. I'm not sure what restaurants are even open during the day or in the evening right now with protests and riots that had been going on. So lots of businesses struggling as well. And again, when you bring sporting events to town, you bring people to town who are going to spend money, who are going to stay in hotels and eat in restaurants. And that's part of getting back to normal, is getting some of those activities going again as well. So it is going to be interesting to see but what happens with both of those events, the Derby and the 500, as far as fans go. The 500 has said they're not going to run it without fans. So that is interesting as well, to see if they would just maybe bypass the event altogether this year, even though auto racing has made a return. There have been a number of NASCAR races without fans, and IndyCar itself, it started this past weekend with no fans running a race down in Texas. Welcome into the show today. Glad you're with us. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And headlining our headline segment today is some great news for IU football. They have landed a prize quarterback from the Indianapolis area yesterday. Big stuff. Indiana football buzzing right now with some of its recruiting successes so far this offseason. We'll talk about that. A couple other basketball topics, some recruiting stuff as well coming up in our headline segment. Later in the show, Jared Morris is out again today. So instead of Jared from the Assembly Call, we'll talk with Brian Tonsoni, who is one of Jared's co-hosts on the Assembly Call radio show and those IU post-game shows as well when we're in season. And with Coach Tonsoni, we'll talk some about IU for next year. They spent a lot of time in one of their recent deals talking about Robert Phinisee. And so I want to spend some time with Brian today talking about Rob Phinisee as well and what steps, what maybe level he can play at next year for Indiana, what his expectations should be as he kind of becomes an upperclassman for this Indiana team and a somewhat experienced player. And he'll have some help at the point guard spot now, so we'll talk about that as well and other IU topics coming up a little bit later. And then later in the program, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will talk about the latest with sports in the state. What can you do? What can you not do? A lot of people are confused. Can we play basketball now? Can we play football now? Can youth games and practices go on? What's going to happen with high school sports? We'll talk all about where things stand right now in stage four of the Indiana reopen plan from a sports perspective, and we'll get the latest from Kyle on what he's hearing and what he thinks about the return of high school sports. That's kind of been a common topic for us each Friday. There's been some news recently. There's been maybe more movement here in the last week or so about high school sports and what's going to happen with football, and a lot of thoughts on that. So we'll catch up with the latest when Kyle is with us today in the program. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you stop by Honey Baked Ham. Check out their new dinner package specials. They have some great deals now being offered, and you can dine in, you can pick up, and curbside service, it remains available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And don't forget about the 50% off bone-in hams special that is still going on. It's a great deal, 50% off the ticket price of any size, any bone-in ham for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news for this Friday. Big commitment for Tom Allen and his staff yesterday. A quarterback, Lawrence North, just outside of Indianapolis in the Metro Indy area. He's a four-star quarterback. His name is Donovan McCauley, and he will play college football at Indiana. He's a member of the 2021 class, so he's getting ready, I'm hoping, for his final high school football season to be played this fall in our state. 6'5", 195-pound quarterback, recognized as a very mobile-type quarterback, which we've seen at Indiana before. He picked Indiana over his other finalists. They were Purdue, Iowa, Missouri, and Ole Miss. He is ranked by 247 Sports as the number three football prospect in the state for the 2021 class and number 11 in the dual threat passer category nationally. Indiana very active in his recruitment. Offensive coordinator Nick Sheridan was the lead recruiter for him. I think he was on campus in Bloomington for a basketball game during the regular season, during the Big Ten season, but obviously someone that Indiana has worked hard to recruit now for a number of years. And it looks like his Lawrence North team has got a couple other good players to go with him, and so they will be a factor in high school football this season, no question about it. Reading one of the reports about his commitment on the 247 Sports website, it actually was on the Pigs.com website. I'm going to read this little paragraph to you. It says, quote, Indiana has one of the more exciting young quarterbacks in the Big Ten in redshirt sophomore Michael Penix. Utah transfer Jack Tuttle is in the mix, and incoming freshman Dexter Williams is a high upside dual threat, and McCauley coming in makes this one of the healthiest and promising quarterback rooms in America. So strong words there for Indiana, both current and future quarterbacks, with where things stand as of now for who they're going to have for next season, what they've got coming in the pipeline, both incoming now and with McCauley incoming after this season. Indiana sits in a good spot right now, it seems, in the quarterback position. This is a big commitment for Indiana. I think they've had 8 or 9 commitments now in the 2021 class. A number of those commitments have come from in the state of Indiana. And again, Indiana's had some recruiting successes, and this is probably the biggest in some time. I think they're involved in some other Indianapolis area players that would be really big if they could land them as well. But getting Donovan McCauley, quarterback, one of the best in our state, is a big deal for Tom Allen and his staff. I saw yesterday that Mrs. Leal, Anthony Leal's mother, who tweeted out a photo. It says, welcome to B-Town, Jordan. And it's a picture of Anthony Leal and also Jordan Geronimo. He's wearing one of his prep school T-shirts. So it looks like he has safely arrived in Bloomington. I'm not sure exactly where things stand, if they've been tested, if they've been through the pre-screening process to eventually get back on campus for voluntary workouts very soon. But it does look like IU players that aren't local are beginning to return to campus. And so Geronimo there a little earlier with his future teammate Anthony Leal. So neat to see him in Bloomington. Also, from an IU perspective, Mason Miller, son of Mike Miller, former NBA player and Memphis coach. It appears Indiana picking up a little steam with him. He told Brian Snow and 247 Sports yesterday that he's Ohio State, Creighton, Texas Tech, and Indiana were 4 of the schools that he listed and said that he's been talking to mostly. And that's interesting. Memphis obviously recruiting him. He didn't mention Memphis in that upper echelon of schools right now. His father recently resigned. We talked about this earlier in the week. He recently resigned, wants to take a step back from coaching and see what's next in life. So you wonder how strong Memphis will be for Mason Miller's services without his dad, Mike Miller, in attendance there as an assistant coach for the program. So another player, we've been watching Mason Miller, but might want to pay even more attention to him now with Mike Miller, his son, or his dad, excuse me, not coaching at Memphis, and also with some of the positive words that he's had about Indiana, you know, being one of the 4 schools to recruit him most and talk with him most at this time. Basketball is coming back. We know that. The NBA is, we believe, going to happen later in July in Disney World, and we've talked a lot about what that will look like, what that could look like, and just how nice it would be to have basketball in some form or fashion back on TV. But I had mentioned this, and it's now official. The basketball tournament, the TBT, winner take all, I think it's still a $2 million prize for the winner. It's actually going to be the first live basketball TV that we have here in America since this pandemic began. It's going to start July 4th. It runs through July 14th. Many of the games will be televised on ESPN. Columbus, Ohio, and Nationwide Arena is going to be the host of this tournament. I'm not sure if they've got 1 court, 2 courts, how they're going to set it up. It's a 24-team tournament. This is a tournament that features lots of former college players, lots of overseas pros, maybe former NBA players, but this is games being played at a very high level. This is good basketball, and it's in its seventh year, and it seemed to really grow. I think it's now a $1 million prize. It was $2 million last year, but it's a $1 million prize this year. The last game that aired before this pandemic, or when this pandemic was hitting us initially, do you remember what it was? It was the Big East tournament's opening round. That's the game that had started and was canceled, the game at halftime. I forget who was playing at Madison Square Garden, but they once they got to halftime, that was the last live basketball, in this country at least, that we've had on television anywhere. And so the TBT for a $1 million prize will be the first basketball back coming up here in a few weeks. July 4th is when it will begin. So if we can make it to July 4th, basketball fans, and if you're desperate enough like me to watch this TBT to $1 million tournament this year, then you can probably make it later to July when we get the return of the NBA as well. So we're close to a return to basketball in some form or fashion here in this country that we can watch on television. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Stay with us. Still ahead, we have coming up in the next segment, Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call. He joins as we'll talk IU basketball. We're going to focus in on Rob Phinisee as one of the players we talk about today and look at the team as a whole for next season as well. And then Kyle Neddenrip joins later in the program. Kyle with the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk basketball recruiting. We'll talk the return of high school sports and what can be done, what can you do right now from a sports perspective based on where we stand in the governor's return plan. Stage four is where we're at today. In fact, starting stage four today in our state. So you'll see a few more people in restaurants. I think there's some bar seating maybe that opens as part of this phase, and definitely some steps forward as we look to reopening the state fully with stage five set for July 4th. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll talk IU basketball next with Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back in this segment to talk some IU basketball and more with Brian Tonsoni, who's filling in again this week for Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Brian is known as the coach on the Assembly Call radio show and podcast. And, Coach, we're glad to have you with us today. I want to know, did you get an opportunity yesterday on the IU takeover of the Big Ten Network to watch the two documentaries, the two new ones on I think it was Bill Torfey and also Christian Watford later in the evening.
Yes, that was quite a day yesterday. It's always good when the Big Ten Network does an Indiana takeover, but those two documentaries were well done, and it's always good to see different perspectives of the sport and the team that we really cherish. Bill Torfey, interesting. A relative, I think niece, great niece, is a good friend of the Assembly Call podcast, and I've gotten to meet her. Her name is Megan Mahaffey in Bloomington. And so I got to watch that with a interesting connection, knowing the family and how much they looked up Bill's story and helped to bring his name to that 1940 championship picture. So that was a special. And then, you know, the watch shot has just been a big part of Indiana's comeback from the struggles in the early 2000s. And it was nice to see Verdell and Christian get to talk about that special moment.
Absolutely. Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call, my guest. I think as we talk about some recent happenings before we get into some IU basketball stuff for next season, got to give a shout out to Coach Allen and IU football. It's a big deal to land McCulley, the quarterback from Lawrence North, a very prized recruit and a QB for this Indiana recruiting class in 2021.
Yeah, Coach Allen is really doing a good job on the recruiting front. You know, difficult in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten East, to build that talent up to be competitive. And I tell you, Coach Allen and his message is really resonating with a lot of players. And it's always good to get those top talented kids in, and maybe that draws some more players, more recruits into the program. But he's really been on the forefront of bringing people together in his football program. He's now socially in front of bringing people together. And I think that just resonates with people. And it just, as a lifelong Indiana fan and season ticket holder for football, it's just nice to see that the talent, the speed is catching up to where Indiana can be competitive. And I saw, Matt, yesterday where a Twitter feed had Indiana one of the surprise football programs to watch this year. And that's just good for those young men in that program to be recognized in that way. And kudos to Coach Allen and his staff for what they're doing.
Brian, I know you're a big IU football guy as well and have followed the program for many years. I feel like with what we're seeing on the field in recent seasons going back 2-3 years, with what's expected and what's possible with this program, given who's returning and who's coming in, and also how recruiting is going, that Indiana football really has some momentum behind it. You mentioned Indiana being listed as a football program to watch for this season. I've seen multiple nothing major, but little shout out here, a little recognition here, mention of a team to watch in the Big Ten here. It just seems like there's some national respect as well, some thought that, hey, things are going better in Indiana, and they truly are a program to watch as Coach Allen moves forward in the future.
Yes, and I think the key is to get one of those big scalps in the Big East or even, you know, Wisconsin. Indiana did a nice job and does a nice job of beating the teams they're supposed to be or they're equal to. And that's a great step, and they need to continue that. But really, to get the program moving, you got to start winning one game a year, maybe, or two games a year against those biggies in the Big East and the top teams, the Iowas, the Wisconsins, when you cross over games. That will really grab the attention of the national audience and maybe even boost recruiting a lot. And that's that next step. I will take, you know, 7-8 wins against the teams you're supposed to again this year, but it's really nice to get a Penn State, get a Michigan State, get two of those in a year. Back in the early 90s when I became a fan, that, you know, Indiana was able to do that every once in a while, and that would really be the next step forward in my mind.
I tell you what, they'll get an opportunity to do so right at the start of the season before some I don't want to say gimme games, but against lesser or non-Big Ten level competition on September 4th, a Friday. That's how the IU season is right now scheduled to start at Wisconsin. And I tell you what, for Indiana to get the chance to go on the road to Madison to play Wisconsin with the momentum they have behind them, I know Wisconsin's projected to be good again and at the top of the Big Ten West this year, but what an opportunity, at least, for Indiana. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, Coach, I just hope that we're talking about that game on September 4th, because it means college football has returned in some form or fashion and that we're not looking at a delayed season or, God forbid, no college football season. I think you would join me in saying we'll take it any way the result happens as long as we get some football back.
You know, I have tickets for that game. A good friend of mine I teach with is a Wisconsin fan and season ticket holder, and so we're planning to go up there in normal conditions. I'm not sure, you know, what the situation is with fans and all of that going, but at least the game needs to happen in my mind, hopefully, because, yeah, I'm excited about this football season and would hope that we're all healthy enough and okay enough to at least have maybe a game without fans or limited fans. If that's the case, I don't know that my ticket will be allowed at that situation. But, yeah, you know, when you have momentum like this, you don't want to see anything change up in a program, whether it's football or basketball. You're building the program the right way, and, you know, you got to deal with it because it's not something that Tom Allen and the football Hoosiers can control. But you want to have that season start when it's planned. You want to be able to do what you normally can do with some restrictions if you have to, because this is always a time now for Indiana football to keep growing. and you don't want to see any delays in that.
Yeah, no question. Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call is my guest. A couple basketball things. I saw Anthony Leal's mother send out a photo. It's Anthony and Jordan Geronimo, and it says, "Welcome to B-Town, Jordan." So there's a lot of unknown about exactly who's coming back when and what these voluntary workouts are going to look like. Of course, this is all related to the pandemic and the coronavirus that's basically wrecked sports. And as we try to get back going, just a different sight, no question about it. But we do know that Geronimo is in Bloomington. So no matter what happens the rest of this month or this summer, I think just the fact that he's going to be around Anthony, be around Trey Galloway, be around the IU players, obviously get to hang out, play with them, work out with them in some way, is a good thing. And he's here. It looks like as soon as he can get here, he's here.
Yes, it's, you know, the thing, Matt, right now, I think for all of us, high school, college, is we want to get back in a routine. And you want to get your guys into a basketball routine, a weightlifting routine. It's not like it was before this coronavirus, and it's probably not going to be like that for a while. So you got to make do. But to get the guys back on campus, to get them in a routine, you know, and I don't know the rules and restrictions. I haven't followed all that, like how many hours in the weight room, what does it mean to be voluntary? But to be able to go to Cook Hall, to get your locker, to get going with these freshmen, I think is just, it's vital given the circumstances right now. It's vital. It used to happen, you know, first summer session or whatever before all of this happened, and now it was pushed back a while. But get them back into a routine that Archie wants the team to be in. It, you know, you can't necessarily have practice and all of those things five-on-five quite yet, if I'm reading it right. But a basketball routine is so important to get the most out of these guys when it comes, you know, September, October, when practice can start normally.
Talking with Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call here on this Friday edition of the program. He's filling in for Jared Morris this week. You guys spent some time recently talking a lot about Rob Phinisee, and a lot of times on Fridays with Jared and with you a few times recently as well, I'll pick a couple players and kind of break them down and get your thoughts and talk about what their minutes, what their role could look like on IU's team for next season. And I don't know about you. I don't know your exact comments. I didn't listen to the full show last night that you guys had. But I know that I expect leadership probably more than anything from Rob Phinisee, given the fact that even as a freshman, he was thrown to the wolves of the Big Ten Conference and was put out there to lead the Indiana offense. Now he's back as an upperclassman for this program. He's had some injuries that he's battled through. I know that's nagged him a bit at times, but he's been through the thick and thin with this program and team. And I think not only with his skill and ability can he help lead the team from the PG position, but also from leadership in general as well. He may take over some of that role too.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, the get old, stay old, well, he's part of that now as a junior. He's been through a couple years. I keep thinking back to the first half of his freshman year. He came in and won the point guard job and was really, really good in that first half of the year before his concussion. And since then, he's been battling that injury bug. And I don't know. I think he's had glimpses of playing as completely as he possibly can, especially against Michigan State. He's really been able to play well against Michigan State in the Big Ten seasons. But we need a healthy Rob physically on the court and mentally, too, because I wonder last year with his injury that how much did he practice and did he go 100% of practice? That's where a lot of leadership happens, too, on the court. Are you practicing right? He could be the point guards or the coaches on the floor, both in games and in practice. And your best player's got to hold people accountable. And if you're injured and can only go through some drills or, you know, you get limited reps because of your injury, that takes away from your ability to lead. And so it's really important for him to be healthy, and I hope that he's over that abdominal issue, whatever that was last year, that just seemed to hang with him, and at least conditioning wise most of the year. If we have a full healthy Rob Phinisee, I think this team is going to have ability to increase their wins and go a little bit further than they normally have in the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament. I think defensively, especially on the best point guard and the quickest guard, and I think offensively, he's played a little timid a little bit and let the offense come to him, and he needs to be aggressive as a junior to get the ball to the playmakers and to be able to score a little bit. I'm big on pace, Matt, and I think both Christian Lander and Ron Fennessy need to push the pace, and I think Indiana needs to play a little bit faster in transition offense to improve the offense and not just be a half-court team, and I think Rob's a big part of that.
Is being consistent, becoming a consistent point guard, a consistent player, is that Rob Fennessy's biggest challenge for this year?
Yeah, and I think it's normal. I mean, you look at some of the good point guards in the Big Ten, and even like, and I don't think Rob's this way. I'm not into player comps and all that, but, you know, Xavier Simpson at Michigan really played well his junior and senior year. Cassius Winston was a lot better his junior and senior year than he was a freshman and sophomore. So some of that's natural progression of just maturing in the college game. Health is what has limited his consistency, because I think when he was rested or when he looked like he was healthy, I think he plays really, really well. When he was winded or looked a little timid, because that might have been a little nagging, he just was up and down that way for me last year. Like sometimes he was just being too cautious, and you just wonder if that was because of this injury or not. And I don't want to make excuses, because he has to be consistent, but I don't think his play was inconsistent. I think his play was inconsistent because of his conditioning and his injury. At least I'm hoping so. I'm not inside the program, because, man, that, again, he played 11, 12, 13 games that first start of that freshman year that were really, really solid. Came back a little bit after he got over that concussion and played a longer stretch, you know, 6-7 games of pretty good basketball. That's the consistency we need to talk about. But that's, I think it's more health-related than play-related.
Talking with Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call. And again, you can check out their latest edition of the Assembly Call radio show, where they talked about a lot about Rob Fennessy, his role for next season, and kind of breaking down how he fits in with the Hoosiers next year. You know, we've talked a lot about positives, not just with you, but with our IU experts, we call them each day on the program. I'm curious, and you watch things from an analytical view. You're a coach in high school as well. What are things when you think ahead about the roster based on last season? Maybe it's positional. Maybe it's a certain stat that stands out to you. What's a concerning part of this team or this roster? I know there's a lot of upside. I know there's a lot of excitement about what they can accomplish and take some steps forward. But what's a concern you have with this team?
You know, I'm big on a closer. Who's Indiana's closer? Who can get a shot at the end of the shot clock? Who can get a shot in crunch time? You know, Dasumu for Illinois is one of my favorite closers. He won a game at Michigan to put the ball in his hand to win the game at Michigan. He hit a big shot against Indiana to stretch that lead from 2-4 at the very end of the game. Who's that guy that can go downhill and get a shot at the rim, pull up and shoot, get fouled, those types of things? I think Indiana is going to have better shooting. I think Indiana has really good post play, but I think that north-south ability to use the bounce to create an opening, I'm not sure Indiana has one, or maybe they have to develop one. But that who's going to be that gutty guy that is that go-to, maybe not the top scorer, but just a clutch player, that is the difference between, you know, a good team or above-average team to a really good team, is to have that closer. And so I think that's a weakness right now that needs to be developed.
Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call. Coach Tonsoni, thanks for the chat. Appreciate you filling in for Jared. It's always great to talk IU basketball. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'm sure that we'll have the opportunity to catch up again soon.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
All right, Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call with us for some IU basketball discussion here on this Friday. We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with a final segment, one more to go for the week, and it's going to be a good one with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk about what the return of two sports looks like here in the state of Indiana, what's allowed right now, and what the latest could be with high school sports making a return for the fall as well. All of that and more, we're going to talk a little basketball as well with Kyle after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Friday program. Kyle Dedenriff of the Indianapolis Star is with me. And Kyle, we have spent a lot of time recently hoping, thinking about, talking about the return of fall sports, high school sports in our state, because like so many others, we want to get back to some level of normalcy, even if there's no fans in the stands, to have football games going on across our state this fall. And of course, hopefully a high school basketball season when the winter months get here. That said, Indiana enters stage four of its five-stage return to, again, a new normal, I think is what you could call it here in our state, economically and otherwise. With that said, I want to talk a little bit about just sports in general and youth sports. With a new phase starting today, we take a step forward with some sports, some things that can reopen related to sports, but we still aren't quite yet getting to a full basketball game or a contact sport game. That I don't think we're cleared for that just yet.
Yeah, so it's been, and Matt, I've been on furlough this week through, from Monday to this coming Sunday. So, but I also, and we talked earlier this week kind of about, some of the concerns that, I was hearing from event operators on, Monday and Tuesday, and, kind of the word that they had was, basketball had kind of flipped to that, contact sport. And that was, early on in the, the stage reopenings and, some of the things the governor was putting out as far as what's going to be allowed and what's not. And basketball originally was kind of filed under a non-contact sport. As we know, basketball, soccer, those are, contact sports if you really are, get down to it. But, so in the process, they were finding out that basketball events that had been put in place based on the schedule of June 14th had actually, was going to be moved back to the fifth stage of July, early July. I think it's July 4th or 5th. And, so that was causing some consternation, among the operators who'd kind of been, had planned on, starting leagues, tournaments, and that sort of thing. As soon as, this Sunday, really under the, under the previous guidelines. So, it was interesting, and then I think, they were able to kind of get word and kind of be able to state their side of things. And now we're going to see, youth basketball events are able to start on the 19th now, from what the governor said yesterday. So, there are things starting to happen already, like, baseball, some other sports that have been, allowed to reopen under the guidance of the state. There are games that are now being able to happen under specific guidelines of distancing and total number of fans allowed at games, things like that. So, we'll start to see baseball games happening and events like that, and other sports, softball, other sports where you can distance more easily. We've seen already golf, has kind of got underway here in the last couple of weeks as well. So, there are things starting to happen. Basketball is going to take a little bit longer than maybe we thought, but I think sooner than, might have been the plan earlier this week. So we'll start to see some things happening with basketball here before too long and see how that goes. Like I think we've talked about before, on the show, Matt, maybe Irv just, kind of talked off the air earlier this week that, basketball is a little bit different animal than some of these others. Like, baseball, I feel pretty confident, if you go about it the right way, it's going to be successful return. And I hope the same for basketball, just knowing, though, just the nature of basketball is nothing, just kind of the way it is, where you have fans on bleachers and, kids kind of breathing on each other during the games. It's like the game's supposed to be played, that's just kind of the way it is. So I hope everything goes okay. And I know those event operators are counting on, things to start happening here. And we'll see. It should be starting up here next Friday, basically. So a lot of stuff starting to happen now.
Yeah, definitely. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Last week when we spoke, we really kind of focused in on high school sports and what the fall season could look like. There were some phases, three phases, in fact, put out by the Indiana Department of Education, somewhat in conjunction with the IHSAA. Any feedback? It's been interesting to talk to a couple football coaches down here. I'm actually going to have a football coach or two with us next week on the program. But what's been the reaction to that? And do you think that we're on track? I mean, Governor Holcomb telling us yesterday we're entering stage four a few days early because the numbers that they are watching to see if this thing is escalating again or becoming a problem for our healthcare system. So far, so good.
Yeah, I think we're going to be going, you know, and I hate to say full speed ahead because that's not accurate. It's going to be measured, you know, guidance and, you know, things that we're going to be doing different than normal. But I think as far as the timeline of getting started, I think we're still on track to, you know, be playing games, you know, having football games on Friday night, you know, when I can't remember what the first Friday night is, but, you know, August 20th or whatever that is. So I think, you know, what that looks like as far as student attendance and, you know, what the student section and the rest of the bleachers look like may be different than, you know, what we normally see. I don't know. I don't know that for sure yet, but, you know, we'll see. I know from talking to some ADs, just kind of, again, I'm, you know, not supposed to be working this week, but I've, you know, just talking to some people, you know, I think there's been some, you know, some feedback as far as the school superintendent and what they're hearing and, you know, from the IHSA, there's been more communication. But again, a lot of it will come down to what the, you know, the local health people say in their counties and what's going to be allowed in their counties. And ultimately those specific school districts are going to have to decide what they're going to end up doing kind of under the guidance of everybody above them. So, some schools might be more stringent than others, and you know, probably specifically Marion County, Lake County, you know, places that have had it more, you just had it worse than other places have. But I think it's gonna. I think we're on track. I think I'm. The more we get into this, the more I think it's gonna be maybe a little bit more normal than maybe we think we thought it would be, or maybe are thinking it would be here the last few weeks. But I feel like people are, you know, not just ready to get back to it, but I just think that's kind of the way we're headed. And again, I don't know, you know, there may be, obviously there will be some things that are different once practices get going on July 6th and those sorts of things, and conditioning, and you can only be there a certain amount of time during the week. I think 6 hours per week to start out with. And those are, again, guidelines, not mandates, but I think schools will follow those, you know, pretty closely and have a plan in place that will align with the things that we've seen so far from the phases that the state has put out. So again, we'll see. I think people are maybe starting to feel a little bit more confident that we can move forward with high school sports.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Let's talk a little bit about Donovan McCulley from Lawrence North. We've spent some time talking about what a big commitment that is for Tom Allen in the IU football program. You've got a great handle on high school football in our state, specifically in the Indianapolis area. This is a big deal for Indiana. Can you tell us more about Donovan McCulley as a football player and as a quarterback, and what type of prize recruit he really is for IU?
Yeah, Donovan, I've covered him a lot. He did a feature on him last year in the summertime. His dad owns a barbershop there on the east side of Indianapolis. And, you know, I could tell, you know, from talking to his dad that even at that time, that's been, you know, a year ago, probably maybe, you know, maybe a little bit less. Even at that time, you could tell IU was, he really liked IU a lot. I think Donovan liked IU a lot. I wouldn't say it was just a matter of time, but I think for a while, IU was in the lead on that recruitment. And, you know, I don't, when you talk about Donovan, I think the dual threat nature of his game is probably the biggest benefit. You know, he's able to run, able to throw, you know, has a big time arm. He's just a really, really good quarterback prospect overall. And, you know, his team is getting better. if you follow the basketball team too at Lawrence North, him and Omar Cooper, who is a standout receiver on that football team, they teamed up in basketball as well. Were a key part of that Lawrence North team that had a chance to go on and win state before everything happened. So good athlete. Donovan became a really big part of that basketball team down the stretch too. I think that shows his his athleticism, his toughness, and always good to get those multi-sport guys on your team. So I felt like IU was in the driver's seat for quite a while for Donovan, and wasn't surprised that he went that route. And I think he'll be pretty solid in his commitment, just knowing what his recruitment's been like all the way through. But yeah, big time prospect, and I think a really good get for IU, a guy that they're going to really like, I think, there in Bloomington.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Indiana's done well so far in the 2021 class, landing some football prospects. Of course, none bigger, I don't think, than Donovan McCullough, who came into the fold yesterday. How good is this class, and could we see Indiana continue to try to pull some other in-state kids in? I know there are others out there that they are recruiting.
Yeah, it is a really good class, and you hear things about Joshua Sales, who's a offensive lineman at Brownsburg, about him possibly being a lean towards IU, and I think that could be something that could happen down the road. But that's yet to be seen. I don't know that'll happen or not. But I think it's interesting with this class, and kind of wrote about this last weekend. Is that, you have so many players committing, right now early. It's just, I looked at the numbers. I think somebody from 24/7 Sports did a story about it on, just the amount of early commitments there have been in this class compared to previous years. And it's just amazing. And it makes sense because, guys want to get locked into their schools. A lot of people committing even sight unseen, before they commit to a school, or before they make a visit to school because they can't make a visit. So I think you've seen a lot of commitments happen that could be flipped, down the road. And I think we'll probably, because you've seen a record number of early commits, maybe see a record number of decommits, unfortunately. But I think it's part of the deal in football, too. I think you see it a lot. Football's different than basketball as far as that goes. I think the nature of football recruiting, you're just going to see a lot of decommitments anyway. But this could be a situation this year that's unprecedented because of the lack of visits that have happened, just because of the restrictions. So I know a player here, Austin Booker, who he committed to Minnesota without having set foot on campus. So, and then who knows how that ends up transpiring. But I think that'll, that's still fairly open for a lot of these guys. But, when you talk about McCullough, I feel pretty confident that he's in with IU, just kind of knowing his situation.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, as always, thanks for joining us to help wrap the week up. And hopefully, as we continue to talk on Fridays, we continue to get good news on sports and really just in general our state's ability to reopen, as we work our way through this pandemic. Kyle, thanks for the chat. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
We'll be back with you Monday at 11 o'clock and every day next week at 11 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk with you next week here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.